From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Wednesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. It's going to probably feel a little more like a Friday podcast. Not a lot going on, even though we are heading into Ole Miss and Auburn at 11 a.m. Saturday morning from Jordan-Hare Stadium. So we'll hit some different topics today. A couple things I want to look at, a couple things to discuss over the course of the next hour. Thanks for all the interaction to yesterday's podcast. Is Neil's stupid line and the conversation on Mike Leach got a lot of activity.
It's what she said. This stupid line, I'm quoting someone.
Do you remember it correctly after 14 years?
I think so.
Well, I mean, that's probably one that would stick in your mind. I mean, how many conversations have you really had with a stripper? So,
well,
that one.
A total of about three.
All in that week period?
Yeah.
Okay. You really should have gone back one more time.
No.
It would have been really good 14 years later. You go, hey, I'm going to need some material on a Wednesday podcast in 2017.
Well, I would have had some medical records to go along with that visit, I suspect.
You'd have thought, what's a podcast?
Yeah, I would have thought, podcast? You talking about podcast?
You know, it's funny, even with this rival site, Grant Gannon tried to do one a long time ago when he was publisher of the site, and it was just too early. And at that point, nobody, it was right when iPods were coming through, but it had not reached the point where terrestrial radio had fallen down to the point that it has and everything else. It was just
too
early.
And I listen to podcasts now all the time. I have two Thunder podcasts. You've got me on Corolla. I started the legal one yesterday. The
Reasonable Doubt.
Reasonable Doubt. I mean, the kids will mention some song. Hey, Dad, have you heard this new song? And I'm like, what?
I haven't turned satellite radio on in over a month, other than listening to a football game the other night.
Yeah, I'll listen. I will turn
it. I don't know why I'm still paying for it other than just whatever, in case I want it.
I will turn it on to listen to a game.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to a lot of baseball on satellite.
I don't even really notice what podcast I'm listening to. They just run through, one ends, the next one starts playing, and I go, okay, that's fine.
It's just
my
background.
Daily routine.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean, I'll be in the house doing chores, doing work, and just put my headphones in and be listening to podcasts all day long. They'll just run through my headset, well, headphones while I'm walking around the house.
How many do you have on rotation? You've got a bunch.
Well, I have a lot that I will check to see if they're interesting. But I only listen to three or four, just really daily, whatever. Like, I pretty much run to Corolla every day because I'm going to be entertained enough, but I don't have to listen so hard that I have to pay attention. I can just have it in the background. It's there. It's entertaining me. But, you know, like I'm listening. I'm finishing up the open, the Leochi case from the Tupelo Daily Journal. By the way, Emma Kent coming on the podcast next week to discuss that podcast. So if you've got a few days to get through this, really interesting story, again, about the missing girl from Tupelo in 1992. You got a few days to get through it. We're going to interview the narrator of that podcast. It's really well produced. My buddy Chris Kiefer is one of the producers on that show. And so we're going to talk to her. So a few days, run through that so you'll be up to date for when we do that podcast, I think next Tuesday or Wednesday. But anyway, I can't run to those because I got to pay too much attention. Like, I'm really having to kind of lock in. Here's what's said. It's doing interviews where I'm really trying to pick it up. So those are a little hard to get through for me because I've got to be sitting, actually. I can put them on the car, but I'm not going to run to them for the most part. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's at. So
I have a hard time running to podcasts.
You need a beat. I don't need a beat.
Well, yesterday I ran for about 70 minutes. I watched a replay. ESPN Classic will just throw random games, and sometimes the games are really good. I'd forgotten how good the football game was. 2000, Auburn at Ole Miss.
2000, Auburn at Ole Miss.
Deuce McAllister, Rudy Johnson. Auburn won 35-27. Ole Miss probably should have won the game, but they kind of created, had some mistakes, but from a quality of football standpoint, that was a damn good game.
Really?
I was an Auburn beat writer. I did not remember how good that game was. That was the game where that Auburn team sort of found itself. They ended up winning the SEC West that year.
It was 0-2 against Auburn the year Eli could have run in for the touchdown and either tied or won the game.
He tried to throw it to Freifogel, I think, and it got
– instead of just run, he had a huge lane to just
could have
run
easily
in.
Scored, yeah.
Yeah. So
that was the game that made him the first pick in the draft, though.
That was the Arnie Corsi game. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll talk about a few more things here coming up on the show that is always brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Daiquiri's lunch specials that are $4.99 and ribs, whatever you'd like, they can hook you up there. Also, remember and use that Plenty card, PLENTI.com with the Plenty card. Because of the LSU game in a couple weeks, they're going to pick out a person that uses that Plenty card in any critical location in Mississippi. They're going to give them 4 free tickets. They're going to give them some VIP access and some apparel. So just use the Plenty card inside or outside at the pump with Craddock Oil, and you're automatically entered. They're doing some really cool stuff at the Batson Hospital this week. We'll tell you about that as well coming up. So a lot of stuff going on there, and also great deals at Clark Ford.
Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. And you'll love the product you get. Great service after the sale. Everything at Clark Ford in Amory. And again, at the end of your deal, tell Corey. Say, hey, Corey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention the Oxford Exxon podcast. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm recording one of those tomorrow with Chris Landry. Ought to be really good. We're going to dive into a bunch of stuff. We're also recording a soft verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans tomorrow as well. All of that. Mention any of those podcasts. $500 off the bottom line from your deal at Clark Ford in Amory. 662-257-1900.
The bottom line up. Everybody, I think, at this point is listening to some form of podcast if they are trying to get any type of news and doing anything. So appreciate all you guys. I looked it up a minute ago. I think just this one particular show, we've been a little over 1,300 since we started. And
that's a lot.
I thought the number was higher until I realized, well, that is one a day for several years now. And obviously we're not doing weekends and different things. So
we're doing, 220 a year or so.
And that's just this show, not counting the beer garden or anything else that we've done over time. So, I mean, we have hit record buttons probably almost 2,000 times total by this point with every different show and different things.
I did 8 podcasts last week, which made me go, man, I don't know how Corolla does what he does.
He'll have days where he does 7 or 8 a day.
And then he'll have days where he doesn't do any.
Probably, yeah, because they'll stockpile them depending on what else he has going on, obviously. Right. So,
I did 8 last week, and by the end of the 8, I was tired of listening to myself talk.
I would have to get much better at it to do multiple days at one time to train my mind to know what day I'm talking about and not screw up.
We've done 2 in a day. We've done 1 before taping ahead. Uh-huh. It is different, but we did it.
Yeah. Carson's birthday today. He's 11 years old.
As we tape this, it's 8:35. He was born about 7:40 something in the morning. He was the one that came fast.
He was born in Mobile.
All 3 of mine were born in Mobile. Oh, really? The Mobile Infirmary. Yep.
The infirmary.
It's what the hospital's called.
Oh, is it really?
The Mobile Infirmary.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Him turning 11. I think startles me more with your kids and their ages and just the length of time than maybe anything else. I mean, Campbell driving did it to a point.
Yeah.
Caroline being in high school does it to a point. But even more so, just because of when you and I met, Carson being so young. I mean, basically almost Carly Ann's age.
Yeah, he was a baby.
Being 11 now, I think this morning when you said that, might have jarred me more than anything else from an age standpoint.
When we moved here, he was 1 and a half.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't 2 yet. And now he's 11. And
so he's known nothing but here.
Oh, yeah, it's all he knows. Yeah, for sure. It's really all Caroline knows. Campbell remembers Alabama to a degree.
A little bit.
Some.
Remembers having to wear Alabama or Auburn stuff or go naked.
Yeah. And wearing a Starlin Castro shirt. Congratulations to Starlin Castro and the Yankees last night winning the AL wild card. I cheered for the Yankees just because of Starlin Castro.
It's a fun game last night.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. Yankees are fun. They're a good young team.
The playoffs are better when the Yankees are involved. I don't really like the Yankees, but the playoffs are better when the Yankees are involved.
There's no question.
I mean, Yankees, Red Sox.
How
when
awesome,
they're in, it's better.
How awesome would a Yankees-Red Sox American League Championship Series be?
Especially because we haven't got it in a little while, so we get to kind of reminisce again. You know, it's not like it was 03-04 where it's just every year and they're going to do it and the Red Sox trying to do something. It'd be kind of new a little bit.
I suspect if you offered Fox, hey, fellas, Red Sox, Yankees,
Cubs, Dodgers.
You good?
Oh.
I mean, they would probably have to take a moment.
Yeah.
Collect themselves. A few people would probably have to go to the restroom and tidy up. And then they'd come back and say, where do we sign?
Don't care who wins the wild card game.
No. Sign us up. Because any combination from those four in the World Series
is phenomenal.
Perfect.
Cubs won it last year. Yeah. So you're aware. It's all around me.
Yes.
Dodgers, Yankees is the top choice if you got to pick one?
Let's think.
The Red Sox have won it since the Yankees.
Dodgers, Yankees. I still think Cubs, Red Sox would be sexy.
See, that's the cute one. That's the cute one where we go, okay, let's do
that. Well, it's pretty hot, really, is what it is. I mean, if you're Fox, that's kind of hot. Now, you can't do the jinxy thing anymore because that's done.
No, they're the teams that have gotten over their things now, and now we're just superpowers.
I don't think the Cubs are healthy enough to do it this year with Arrieta down and Lester kind of banged up. But if the Cubs were to win this year, they go in the next. It's amazing how fast the storyline would change. They would go into 2018 where the whole curse thingy was so old news. We would be talking, here's this young team with this huge core of position players.
Are they the late 90s Yankees?
In their 20s, where we would be saying, is this the Yankees? Is this team better than the 90s Yankees? Because this team, in its 20s, Rizzo, Bryant, Russell, Baez, Schwarber. Did you see this? Where of the top 20 jerseys in baseball, the Cubs have four?
Really?
Yeah, people love Javi Baez, Kyle Schwarber. That's before you even talk about Jason Hayward and Wilson Contreras, who's 24 years old, who I think is going to be a superstar. That's what's interesting about, and that's the Yankees. I think the sexy matchup, honestly, is Yankees-Cubs for two reasons. One, the huge markets. Two, the massive fan bases. And three, it's the two teams that have these massive, young cores where you could have what you had back in when I was a kid. Dodgers, Yankees always played each other with these same groups of people where you could fall in love with the core group. That's what's so exciting for Carson, for example, with the Cubs. We mentioned him kind of going around full circle. He gets to follow these dudes from the time that he kind of started paying attention. He was 9. They'll realistically all be together till he's at least 14 or 15, and some of them will still be there into his late teens. He's the guy that when he's 20 years from now, 25 years from now, he'll be telling his kids, oh, yeah, when I was a kid, the Cubs had Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, and Wilson Contreras, and Javi Baez, and Ian Happ, and all that. And his kids will be like, oh, wow, I've heard of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar version of when I was his age, when as a Braves fan, I had Glavin, I had Smoltz, I had Blauser, I had Lemke, I had all these guys that were all together for most of that run during the 90s.
I mean, what I remember as a kid, the Dodgers had Steve Yeager and Steve Garvey and Davey Lopes and Bill Russell and Ron Say and Dusty Baker and Rick Monday. Young Pedro Guerrero, and the Yankees had Thurman Munson, God rest his soul, Chris Chambliss, Bucky Dent, Willie Randolph, Craig Nettles, Reggie Jackson, Oscar Gamble, You see what I mean? I mean, I remember those guys when I was 7, 8, 9 years old. I remember all those dudes. You had their baseball cards. The Dodgers played the Yankees in the World Series. Reggie Jackson hit the 3 home runs. I mean, hell, those were good teams.
Yeah, I mean, because those 90s Yankees, they won it 96 and then 98, 99, 2000.
Yeah.
They won four or five.
With Bernie Williams and Jorge Posada and Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera and Andy Pettit, yeah. Roger Clemens.
Early on, John Wetland.
Yeah, they had Wetland at first, and then he moved on.
Yeah, I have not had – because I was a little older. When you know, in 91, when the Braves lost the Game 7 to the Twins, I was still a little too young to fully just get, oh, my God, about it. 92, Blue Jays hurt just because it's 2 years in a row. They win it in 95. I don't know that I've ever been crushed by a Major League Baseball season more than 1996. The Braves win the first two in New York.
It's the Jim Leyritz series.
The Leyritz hits the home run, and they lose 4 in a row, including 3 back in Atlanta. Man, that was the tough one. The Leyritz home run is one of those where were you moments that I'll remember my entire life.
I was bartending, and I remember it.
Yeah. I was in a skating rink. I was 12 years old. Yeah. Anyway.
That was a great Braves team.
Should be a good game tonight.
It really should. John Gray with John Gray with the Rockies has started to finally become the ace that they always hoped he would be. Greinke's been really good. The Diamondbacks, I think, are if you're the Dodgers tonight, you're cheering for the Rockies.
You are.
Big time. You don't want the Diamondbacks. Their lineup with Pollock at the top, and since they added J.D. Martinez at the trade deadline, their lineup is deep, it's long, it's punishing, and their bullpen's really good.
From 98, 99, and 2000, those 3 years the Yankees won in the World Series, they went 12-1. 2 sweeps and a 4-1.
Wow.
12-1, 3 years in a row, 3 titles.
They were a juggernaut.
So 16-3 total because they beat the Braves 4-2.
They were amazing.
Where'd they get beat in 97? Did the Indians beat them in the LCS or what? I don't remember.
Yeah, they lost.
But that was Marlins-Indians World Series.
Yeah, I think the Indians beat them in the maybe even in the DS.
Okay, I have no idea. Yeah, last night was fun. Postseason baseball, even if you get into the regular season, is a lot of fun. It was good last night.
It's a long game.
I saw this yesterday. We've mentioned him way too much the last couple of weeks. Darren Revelle tweeted out yesterday some of the concession stand items at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
Are there dudes that just sit in a room and go, what stupid concoction can we come up with that's going to have 2,300 calories and then we can charge $27 for it?
Probably.
Is that, I mean, what happens essentially?
Probably.
It was, I think I've got a picture of it somewhere. It's a hamburger, but that doesn't do it justice. It's a cheeseburger that's a double cheeseburger, okay?
Okay.
But both pieces of bread, top and bottom, are complete grilled cheeses.
That's disgusting.
So grilled cheese, complete, I mean together, 2 pieces of bread, cheese in the middle, on top of a double cheeseburger and below a double cheeseburger. My biggest problem is physically, how do you eat it? And I don't mean how do you ingest it. I mean, how do you eat it?
Probably have to kind of bite
with
it.
With a fork?
I would think you have to
You'd have to dig through it, right?
I would think you'd have to use utensils, right?
2 grilled cheeses as bread for a double cheeseburger.
That's disgusting. That does nothing for me.
It was the one that stuck out where I went, I just don't understand.
I don't get that.
You know, I mean, every park in the country has got their 1 or 2 really stupid items, and that's the one for Yankee Stadium. So,
I'm not a big eat at the ballpark guy.
Hot dog, pretzels, beer.
I'll get a beer. I might get a pretzel. Usually, I won't eat at the ballpark. I'll wait and eat someplace in the city.
Sneaky caloric.
Is what?
Kind of sneaky caloric.
Oh, big time.
700 to 800 calories, probably, depending on the size of the pretzel.
Yeah. Most times, I'll just have a couple of beers, and I'll go eat somewhere after the game.
We had a new listener yesterday that was really excited about my Tyson Drugs ads. I'll tell you now that Tyson Drugs, the creators of Sildenafil, by the way, to get a $10 better version of that little blue pill that'll cost you $50 or $60, same length of effectiveness, and gets you ready in as little as 15 minutes. You can break the tablet into halves and quarters, or just take the whole thing if you're going to have a big big day ahead. So Tyson Drugs Day Ahead, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321. Give them your doctor's name, and they'll get that prescription ready. If you're not local, they'll even deliver it to you. So, again, 662-252-2321, TysonDrugs.com.
If you plan too far ahead, you make it such a mental thing at that point. You know what I mean? I mean, you're setting up disaster. Sometimes you don't even want to know that you need – you don't even know – do you really want to know you're warming up in the bullpen, or do you want to just get called in? The manager says, come on in, it's time
to
throw.
Well, you only need 15 minutes. If it took 3 hours to get ready, you would have a problem, because that takes a lot of pre-planning.
Yeah. 3 hours. So the movie is...
Hey, let's get dessert. No.
No, we're going to need to be back at 10.
You don't want a blondie from Applebee's? No, I do not. There is a great series on Netflix. I'll pick up frozen yogurt on the way.
We'll have to stop in the middle of the second episode. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in our state. Gotland.com is the website. Here's the deal. If you're a buyer, Michael has the best land inventory in Mississippi. People like to list with Michael Oswalt. They like to list with Tom Smith Land and Homes. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, he'll come to your home, tell you what he does, market your property, get it sold for you. He's ready to work for you. He'll put his money where his mouth is. He'll market your property. Drone videos, whatever it takes, Michael's going to get it done. Hunting season is here. Bow season is here. It's a great time to look for or sell your recreational property. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. We're also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. Right now, OUB is offering its customers one-year CDs at 1.75% APY, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they will work on any make or model, residential or commercial. They get customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749.
Seeing on Twitter this morning that Gatorade sales have dropped considerably due to a milder summer and slower convenience store traffic.
Really?
Yeah. The convenience store traffic surprises me a little bit, because I'm a little surprised that's one of the main things you just go in and decide you're get for just a refresher. Like, I can't drink Gatorade unless I'm hot. I want nothing to do with it if I'm just sipping, eating a candy bar.
I'm the same way.
No thanks. That's so. That was a
like if I'm driving?
Yeah.
You know, it's really weird. You crave different things. When I'm driving somewhere, you know what I crave? Lemonade.
Really?
Bizarre.
Does that have to be a certain kind?
I prefer the Minute Maid, but I can make anything work.
Like Country Time, sitting there, you
that's
can,
fine
you can
too.
Go with
I,
it.
I can absolutely make that work.
Pink lemonade or regular lemonade?
I prefer regular, but I can do pink.
Okay. What's your Gatorade flavor?
I prefer the blue ones.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There aren't many Gatorades I don't like, though. Really? I love the green. I love the orange.
You're good with
red.
Like even the random flavors. You know, there's like 75 flavors of Gatorade.
Yeah.
You know? Like cucumber melon and stuff.
I'm not a big cucumber person, not a melon person, but I mean, I can make almost any of it work.
Traditional. Still like citrus cooler, lemon.
But if you have the cool blue, I'm good. Locked down.
Not a big blue. Like sports drink wise, I'm actually more of a Powerade person than a Gatorade, which I know is sacrilegious with a lot of people, but.
I like Powerade,
I like
too.
Orange Powerade Zero. That is my favorite. When I'm hot, that is... Because regular Gatorade or regular Powerade is too sweet. Like, it's just... It's too much. I need the G2 or the Powerade Zero that's a little more watered-down version. I want just a little flavor, but not the full flavor. It's kind of too syrupy for me.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's Jeffrey Bay. Oh, here he goes, dropping the marathon. When I ran the Chicago Marathon that last time, it was super hot. And the Gatorade at each stop, I could tell, by the time I could tell it was too late, was really concentrated, kind of syrupy, and it made me sick. I mean, yeah. I just felt so bad. And I kept thinking, why do I feel so bad? I've done my training. I'm drinking the same way I drink when I train. I know it's hot. I know I'm on all these painkillers, and that's probably part of it. But I look back, and a lot of it was that syrupy Gatorade. Because late in the run, I got away from it and just went straight to the water. And I got better.
They clearly mark what's in what cup and let you...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at each stop, there's Gatorade and then water. So you can get Gatorade and then grab water, or you can just whatever. Because what I would do is, at this mile, I would get a little sip Gatorade, and at this mile I'd get water, and then I'd switch. Like they say, they tell you to alternate.
Are you considering it a third time?
Thinking about it. Thinking about training for the one next year.
Is your body doable?
We're going to find out.
Then what do you think?
I think so.
You think your feet are okay for that?
I mean, they're going to hurt like
a bitch.
I
assumed you were kind of done at that distance.
I'm thinking about one more. I've run 4. It's a weird number. I want to run 5. It's a much better
number.
You're
going to run 5 and you're running 3 in the same spot? Pick another place.
I might go run one in Montana, I thought about.
Well, what?
I've always wanted to go to Montana.
You ran one in Minnesota. Do you really have to go to Montana, too?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. Because you can't qualify for, like, Boston.
No, and I don't want to run Boston.
You don't?
Too many people.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I hate being this way. I really do. I hate being this way because I know this is giving in. I know. And we're not going to get political here. I promise we're not. I'm going to try not to. I know Chase won't because he's smarter than me. I get a little scared. Like, I thought about it the last time I was in Chicago running the marathon. You've run these things, so you know what I'm talking about. Imagine Batesville times 10,000.
Yeah, of course.
You're all bunched up. And there's all these buildings around you. And you would be a sitting duck. An explosive. And there's all these people. And there's all this energy. And you're all there for the same reason. And it's cool. And then you see what happened in Las Vegas.
Well, and I mean, Boston's been hit by one.
And Boston got hit by one, yeah, at the end.
Yeah, marathons, races are hope. It's overcoming things. Like, that's the spirit of those things. And
oh, man. I mean, I get almost emotional thinking about some of the things that I've seen, particularly in Chicago, the 2 times I ran. Because it's people that are running for a child they lost.
Right.
For a parent they lost. A brother they lost. It's people that lost 200 pounds. And are doing something that they never thought they could ever do. There's a spirit there. I mean, you have the people at the front that are running a competitive race that are different cats.
Yeah, that's a whole other.
And then you have these people, and you start seeing them. Look, the people that are running the 3-hour marathon, two-hour 40-minute marathon, those are people, they're running because they can run. You get to about 3:40 back.
Still really freaking impressive.
But where I always set up was in the 4-hour area.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are a lot like me. not great athletes. We've had to train. You're there. You're there to overcome something in your head. You are. You're there for a reason. And so there's a lot of spirit at one of those deals. People pulling for one another. It's cool, really. People encouraging one another 19 miles in.
Yeah.
Passing a total random stranger that you've never seen and you'll never see again. And just a little thing. You just say, hey, you can do it. You're okay. People checking on people. And you just think that's a target. And you hate being that way. I'll be honest, man. I get so frustrated every Saturday because now we go into these stadiums and we have backpacks because we have
computers
and stuff. They can't touch our backpack. They'll say, I can't touch it. Can you open it for me? And they're not checking my backpack. They're making it look like they check my backpack. And I'm not criticizing the people. But what if I had a bomb in there?
I mean, I'll give you the best example of this is, hopefully this isn't getting me in the future. Baseball games. You're not supposed to take food in and whatnot. I sneak Subway sandwiches into my bag almost every baseball game because I'm not going to eat the fried stuff every night.
Right.
Then nobody ever sees it. I just put it in my bag, lay something over the top of it very easily. Hey, going about your business. No big deal.
Could be a weapon.
Oh, I mean, it is a foot-long sandwich. Yeah. Easily.
I don't know. So sometimes I think, where do I want to run one? I want to run one in some kind of remote place.
Yeah.
Yet a remote place, you're kind of on your own. It's not like...
Yeah, that's true.
The great thing about like Chicago is... The bad thing about Chicago is there's all the foot traffic. The great thing about Chicago is there's all the foot traffic. You're never alone.
I'm going to look at something almost football specific in a second. I have to think, because like when you were in that first one in Chicago, you were in really good shape.
Yeah.
You closed well. And I had this a little bit the last two times I've just run the small ones that I've run, is when you're on that last mile or two and you're encouraging people, but you're passing people, the sense of energy that you had to get on mile 24, 25 in Chicago, not just knowing you can do it, but kind of making up time and passing people might have to be one of the best mental feelings you can have in your entire life.
I had it twice, there and in Duluth. Because in Duluth, I was real careful because we got wet before the race started, and it was cold. It wasn't cool. It was cold. And I was being really careful the first half of the race. Save something. Hey, make sure you save something. Be careful. Because I'd run Big Sur not long before that and had really struggled. And so I was, hey, be careful, be careful. And I got to like 21, 22, and I'm like, dude, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And I got to 24, and I picked up the pace. Because I remember looking at my splits. I passed hundreds of people those last 2 miles. It was great. I was like the theme from Rocky, you know?
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to do it again, though, I'm going to get in better shape than I've ever been. Or else I'm not going to do it. So I've got a year to think about it.
All right. I stumbled across this a second ago. Just be honest, I looked at it because on Twitter I saw where the Auburn 24/7 site had looked at it for Auburn, so I looked at it for Ole Miss because I was curious.
Okay.
ESPN FPI rankings.
What is FPI?
FPI, it's a power ranking for every college football team in the country.
Okay.
And what it does.
Football power index.
Yeah.
Okay.
It tabulates percentages for the likelihood of a win or a loss for every game moving forward.
Okay.
For Ole Miss. Let's go through these.
Okay.
Ole Miss at Auburn, what do you think percentage ESPN's FPI, it's just a computer program, no human, whatever.
Yep.
Typically, I mean, this doesn't matter because it's all conference games. Typically, a metric that's kind of biased toward the SEC for whatever reason in its calculations. I don't know why, but typically usually is.
Okay.
What percentage do you think it gives Ole Miss of a chance to win at Auburn on Saturday?
18.
5.1 is what it says.
Okay.
It has Auburn as the number 8 FPI team in the country. Ole Miss is ranked 69th in FPI.
Okay, that helps me going forward.
Yeah, Let's see. I was trying to see if it gives win probability for Ole Miss as far as a projected win and loss. This will help you a little bit, too.
Does it do game by game?
Well, yeah, it does game by game, but at the top of the page, it gives me just a projected for the season.
Okay.
And it has Ole Miss projected to go 5-7 this season.
Still as of this moment?
Yeah, at this moment.
Okay.
Although, that's a little tricky in the things, but anyway, we'll go with it.
Okay.
Vanderbilt, what do you think? October 14th at home against Vanderbilt.
52%.
You should be in Vegas for that one because the answer is 51.9%.
I'm going to give myself a ding-ding on that then.
You're going to get a ding-ding. No, yeah, you're over. If it's Price is Right, you're out.
Well, okay, but I'm claiming a victory.
51.9%, they project a win against Vanderbilt.
Okay.
LSU at home.
43%.
28.4%.
Yeah, I did some LSU research yesterday.
Okay.
And I did. I dug into LSU a little bit. Believe it or not, Neil McCready dug into football stats. LSU's better than their record. The Troy loss is on one person and one person alone.
Eddie O.
Yes, sir. And if they don't repeat that, and that's a huge if.
If he leaves Matt Canada alone.
That is an if that is like flashing lights, Vegas style, at you.
Is it Etling or Brennan, though, moving forward?
It's either. They're both basically the same.
But when I got two dudes that are the same, the older dude's going to give me a little more.
Yeah. They're okay if Orgeron leaves it alone because defensively their metrics are still pretty good.
Metrically, ESPN has them 29th nationally.
Probably about right.
So the answer, though, LSU.
LSU has a 72% chance of winning that game.
Yeah, 28.4%
okay.
For LSU.
I can buy that.
Arkansas, Saturday, October 28th, concluding the three-game homestand. Razorbacks in Oxford.
I will guess Ole Miss has a 47% chance of winning the game.
Ole Miss has a 45.5% chance of winning.
Well,
the game.
Pretty close.
You're doing okay.
Okay.
You're hanging in.
Okay.
So toss-up-ish.
Toss-up-ish.
Within 5 points is a toss-up.
Vandy and Arkansas are, to me, both toss-ups. LSU is going to have to play badly or Orgeron's going to have to coach. It could happen.
Saturday, November 4th. Ole Miss heads to Lexington, Kentucky. Unfortunately, I don't think Keeneland is going on during that time period, obviously. But in Lexington, November 4th, what do you think?
Well, I'm hopeful that is right after celebrating a back-to-back World Series championship. That would not factor into these computer rankings. I will say Ole Miss has a 32% chance of winning the game.
Ole Miss has a 29.6 chance of winning the game.
Okay, it's not bad.
You're pretty good.
Thank you.
You do this better than you've done most things.
Believe it or not, I have felt guilty about how little I've watched, and this week I've studied. Okay. I really have, swear to God. Pulled out stats and studied some run defense, pass defense, stuff like that. Where teams, because this is the first part of, in my opinion, the first week of the year that some of the numbers that you can break down mean something.
Saturday, November the 11th, Ole Miss comes back home and plays the University of Louisiana. And what's it going to be? What do you think?
Correct yourself.
The University of Louisiana at Lafayette.
Thank you. Ole Miss has an 82% chance of winning the game.
88.
Okay.
Yeah, 88. Lafayette is 1/12 in the country in FPI. Yeah.
Ole Miss will win that. Unless Ole Miss has just...
The only positive from Louisiana has from a game control standpoint is they had that big lead on A&M for a little while. They probably have their numbers a little bit. Speaking of, the next week, at home again, Ole Miss concludes its home slate with the Texas A&M Aggies.
So here's what's interesting about A&M. They're pretty good against the run. They're abysmal against the pass. I mean, just awful. Just freaking awful, which gives Ole Miss a chance. Now, A&M's offense is pretty good. They move the football in a lot of different ways. I'm going to say A&M is clearly the computer favorite here. I'll say Texas A&M has a 66% chance of winning the game.
65. Ole Miss at 35% for this one.
That's about right.
They have A&M at 34th nationally in FPI.
They only do one thing terribly, and they're awful at it. By any metric, their pass defense is awful. But now offensively, they can stay in games. They've moved the football all year.
Surprised by this FPI, and this is where I think the SEC gets some bumps here.
Okay.
Because I don't see it as much. Although there's an argument. We had kind of this – you weren't there because I do Tuesdays lately. You've done Wednesdays. Kind of had this argument inside the Ole Miss press conference room yesterday on who the fifth best team in the league was. And a lot of votes in that room for Mississippi State. Ole Miss closes the year in Starkville. Percentage chance for the Rebels against the Bulldogs.
Right, let's do this. Then let's go back to that fifth best argument.
Okay.
Because the four best are obvious.
Yeah.
Ole Miss at Mississippi State. Metrically, State's just kind of blah. They're not good. They're not bad. They're just kind of blah. They're at home. They're going to clearly be favored to win the game. I'll say Mississippi State has a 65% chance of winning the game.
87.
Wow.
13% for Ole Miss in that game, FPI-wise.
Wow.
The projected win-loss for State is 7.8 to 4.2.
Okay.
For the season. Seven to eight wins.
I mean, that's possible. I don't have their schedule in front of me. I might pull it up real quick.
Well, I mean, I'll run through quickly their numbers. FPI-wise, they only lose once the rest of the way. BYU, 94.2% chance of winning.
Yeah.
Kentucky, a 77% chance of winning.
It's in-state.
It's a big number. No, yeah, it's a big number, though.
It is a big number.
A&M, 51% chance.
See, I don't think they beat Texas A&M.
In College Station, too.
I don't think they beat – I just don't think they win that game. But I'm higher – we're about to have this fifth – I don't think we're going to argue. I think we're going to have a discussion. I'm higher on A&M than a lot of other people, and I think you are too. We'll have that in a minute.
UMass, 97%.
Yeah, sure.
They have a 10% chance against Alabama. That's too high.
No, they don't. And listen, that's not picking on State. Alabama's just better than everybody else.
66 against Arkansas and then 87 against Ole Miss.
Okay.
Arkansas's in Fayetteville. While you're collecting your thoughts about the fifth best team and the country, in the country, I will tell you that for your mortgage needs, there's only one place to go, and that is Community Mortgage. It's in Oxford. It's in Chattanooga. It's in Memphis, Soto County. All underwriting processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. So that's about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. We've done that with lines in the last couple weeks. So,
hell yes, we did.
You can talk to Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
We actually had the right to exercise the float-down option and took it this week on Neil's Picks.
Did we?
We did.
The Florida LSU thing?
We sure did. Because we thought we were locking in at 7 on a good rate, and it floated down to 3.5.
What do we do if one person doesn't want to lock in? Can you lock in individual lines, or is it 2 out of 3 majority rule?
It's Neil's Picks.
Okay.
Podcast.
Somehow you achieved ownership of something that you've never actually won, which is fairly impressive.
I do the work on it every damn week. I do. I load them all. I put the pictures.
You
I write
put
the captions.
Funny captions on pictures.
And but I set everything up.
All right, we'll trade. I'll do Neil's Picks. You load the podcast every day. We'll see how it goes.
No, I'm going to learn one of these days. Podcast all brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Holy hell, that'd be an adventure. Gambrell & Associates have 3 attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great service after the sale as well. Just go in, tell Gene and Sandy you heard about it on the podcast, you heard about it at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissan.com. HarryAlexanderUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site, HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for and send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, and often he'll list some of his listings. It's H.A. Rebel on Twitter.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-670-7773, or MasterCutLawn.com. We got skeeter beaters. If you want to get rid of those pesky mosquitoes, call the same number, and they'll hook you up there with a cheap price to help you enjoy your backyard or the area around your business. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Irrigation, turf, maintenance, I use them, and you should too. And remember, when you sign an annual contract, mention the podcast, First Cut is free. Saw that last night the AL wildcard drew a 5.2 overnight on ESPN. Pretty good numbers for non-network.
That is a good number.
TBS was 3-3 last year, but you have to remember it was up against the VP debate, and there were no Toronto numbers, even though the Jays were in the game. So a little miscontrued there.
People like...
similar numbers, frankly.
People like playoff baseball. It's good.
People like playoffs.
Yeah, sure.
Eliminate someone.
Sure.
We like that.
Sure.
March Madness, anything. We like elimination. We like brackets.
Yeah, America likes brackets. America loves it, some brackets.
Yeah. That's why everybody does. I mean, that's why everybody loves match play golf. There's a bracket. Let's do brackets.
In fairness, I will watch more golf if I have a bracket. I will. I like the bracket. All right, so fifth best team. The best four teams are clearly Alabama's 1, Georgia's 2, Auburn's 3, Florida's 4. There's very little debate.
Yeah.
You could argue Auburn's better than Georgia if you want. They're not, but okay. Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, Florida. That's set. 1 through 4. You're good. Missouri's 14th. The rest of the freaking league is essentially mush. Now, certain parts of the mush are better than other parts of
the mush.
There's
a little more vanilla wafer and a little less milk in some parts of it, but yes.
Yeah, I mean Mississippi State, Texas A&M appear to be better than Ole Miss, Arkansas. Not volumes better,
better. I mean, A&M beat Arkansas 51-50 or something.
In overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little more consistent is probably the better word.
Yeah.
Of course, Arkansas's other loss is to TCU.
It was
a top 10 team.
Yeah, 28-7.
I'm having a hard time holding that against them as we debate their.
That's why for 2 weeks we held the Clemson loss against Auburn too much.
Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore either.
Less than 10 points on the road.
Well, just against a good team, and when you're arguing who's the more average of the average, I'm not going to hold that against.
All right, so fifth best, the pool, is A&M, Mississippi State, and Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's the pool. I'm not saying Kentucky's it, but that's the pool.
I think A&M's the fifth best team. A&M's one loss was on the road in a game where they lost their quarterback and couldn't recover against Josh Rosen and gave up a 3,000-point lead.
A&M's 4-1. The devil's advocate to that is they were trailing to Nichols at one point. They frankly should have lost to Louisiana Lafayette without a really good fourth quarter. They ended up covering. I get it. It counts.
Fourth
but
quarter
it's
counts.
Flawed.
It is flawed. Well, look, I mean,
it's all flawed.
All of the from after you get past number two in the SEC, we're talking about warts.
A&M has scored 187 points and given up 140 in five games.
They can score. Their pass defense, man, is god awful. That's a scientific term.
Okay.
I mean, they give up passing to everyone they play. Everyone.
State has a really dynamic running quarterback that hasn't progressed to the point needed throwing the football.
Right. And so I don't know that State's going to be able to run the ball on A&M.
And they've gotten thrown on. I mean, I'm sorry. They've gotten dominated at the line of scrimmage twice.
Yeah.
Georgia and Auburn.
Yeah.
That's Georgia and Auburn, but –
it's not that State lost those two games on the road. It's not that. It's the way that they lost those two games.
Them.
No, they got their ass kicked. Now, Auburn's going to kick a lot of ass over the course of the season at home. But I think A&M's the fifth best team. Now, you could argue for Kentucky. Kentucky's numbers. Kentucky does nothing badly. They do nothing particularly well, but they don't do anything badly. And their one loss.
Would you have Kentucky 5 right now if they'd held on against Florida? Or would you have them at 4?
I'd have them at 4. So you can make a pretty compelling argument for Kentucky. They mentally choked.
They got all up in their head late in that game.
Oh, yeah. The longer that game went on, they're like, oh, God, is this what it's going to be like? Is this going to be the time?
But here's the deal with that. Kentucky's schedule.
Okay. Yep.
They're gonna win again. They're going to be 5-1. They're playing Missouri. They're going to win. They beat Southern Miss 24-17.
Yep.
I think a Southern Miss team that lost to North Texas last week, I think.
Well, now you be careful with the transitive property here because you can really get yourself screwed up in college football with transitive properties.
I can, but I have a point.
Okay.
They beat Eastern Kentucky 27-16. I know big rivalry game and all, but 27-16.
Wasn't that right after Florida?
No, that was second game of the season after Southern Miss.
Okay.
They beat South Carolina in a really impressive win, 24-13. That was when Debo Samuel was there. They kicked the Gamecocks' tail.
That was a pretty win.
It was in Columbia.
Yes.
They played Florida, got beat 28-27. They choked.
Yes.
Beat Eastern Michigan 24-20 last week.
And that was, I think, some hangover. You got to figure that wasn't exactly the most energetic Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday practice ever.
North Texas beat Southern Miss 43-28.
Okay. Like I said, I'm my vote's for A&M. My second vote would be for State. My third vote would be for Kentucky at this point.
Even though you just said if Kentucky was 1 point better against Florida, you'd have them 4.
But they weren't. But they didn't. The fourth quarter counts.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we beat them for 8 innings. Well, the ninth inning counts. That's why you play it. It's not like golf where you go, tap it in. No, we're going to play the inning.
Well, golf's exactly the same. You still got to play the 17th and 18th hole.
Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
4 feet. Yeah, whatever. Take it. People don't do that in baseball. Nope. You're going to play this inning.
Twins are like 3-0 in the first inning. We won last night.
They had to be feeling good.
And you give up 3 in the bottom of the first.
Yeah, D.D. Gregorius, he hit that home run. It was like, well, there went that.
Yeah, it felt over at that point.
Well, there was no question that the win probability went boom.
Little juice in the stadium at that moment. And it
just a little.
It'd be a hard place to play. And I mean for Yankees.
Yeah.
The home team.
Sure. They're on you.
Don't get cut a lot of slack in that part.
None.
They're loyal, though.
So that's 5th, 6th, 7th. Who's 8th? Who's the 8th best team in the league? Who's even in the discussion? Arkansas?
Carolina.
Eh.
Well, somebody's got to be there.
I guess Arkansas plays Carolina this week. We'll find out whether it's eh. I don't know. There's a lot of hodgepodge.
What's
the highest you could put Ole Miss? 11th-ish?
Missouri.
They're 14th.
That middle tier, I don't know how to separate them. It's Arkansas, LSU.
Yeah. Tennessee.
Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, South Carolina.
You could argue they're all basically the same team.
And the FBI says they're the same team. I mean, Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, 51%. I mean,
right.
Flip a coin. Somebody's going to win a game. We overvalued Vanderbilt early.
Sure.
Because we put too much stock into beating a really unathletic Kansas State team.
We did.
That was the problem.
Well-coached Kansas State team that we all like.
One-dimensional and unathletic.
Yeah.
See where
she's a good cook, and that's about it.
See where Kirby Smart said that Derek Mason's not at their practices, so he doesn't know who the quarterback's going to be this weekend.
Oh, good grief.
Derek Mason was asked about Georgia's quarterback situation, and he said it's going to be Jake Fromm. And Kirby said that he has not made that decision, and last time he checked, Derek Mason was not in his not on his field during practices. So there's no way for him to know.
So salty.
he's hard to like.
He's almost impossible.
And not in the funny way where Saban I kind of giggle at.
Yeah.
Kirby's just an ass.
Yeah.
Saban has this little bitty piece. Now it's little, but he has this little piece of him that's kind of endearing in a weird way.
Well, he's kind of the grumpy grandpa that he's always in a bad mood, except for the one time that you show up and he gives you a cookie and pats you on the head and says, you're a good boy.
Little Debbie.
Yeah. You're a good boy, Sam.
Kirby doesn't have that mode.
No.
He's the drunk uncle that just annoys
him. Who's always pissed. And the more Jack Daniels that he drinks, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
And you know to get the hell out of there on the fourth one.
Yeah. He's the uncle that when you're a kid tries to, like, make you claustrophobic by putting the pillow over your head and stuff. It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah, where you look back on it and you go, was he playing or was he trying to kill me? He's not likable.
He's not a coach that you would want to sit down and have a drink with.
No.
There are some. He's not one.
No, he's the one that you'd probably end up throwing the drink at.
I think Boone would be really high off that list.
Fun guys to sit and talk to. Yeah. He's a good – Will's a good guy.
I found his press conferences interesting in Hoover. He kind of entertained me that week.
I'll be honest. Will Muschamp's a guy that if I were Ole Miss, I'd make a phone call.
Gosh dang, who else in the league would you want to sit and hang out with, coach-wise? Derek Mason,
maybe.
But he's annoying with the whole we don't cheat crap.
Yeah, I'd be like, come on. I mean, I'd open the drink conversation by going, hey, seriously.
Yeah, come on.
To which he might say, we don't cheat.
That's your problem.
Wish we could. You might notice we don't have
one
many
and
athletes.
Two has got to be, it's got to be Muschamp and Burt.
Oh, yeah. Yo.
That's 1-2.
Brett Bielema, I'm wanting to hang with.
After that.
Because that might be the deal where you wake up in Vegas going, how'd this happen? When did we get here?
But, I mean, after that, I mean, I seriously, they could go, hey, do you want to go to the bar and hang out with this person? And I'd go, nah. I mean, Jim McElwain, no interest.
Not really. Kind of boring.
Kirby, no.
No.
Stoops, no.
No.
Barry Odom, I don't even know if I'd recognize him when he walked in the room.
He's probably the really nice guy that you'd end up having a really deep, meaningful conversation with.
Butch Jones, I would
not
show up.
No, God, no. I'd be like, dude.
No interest in Gus.
No. That's boring.
Kevin, someone.
Well, maybe.
That's a whole nother conversation, isn't it?
We might want to take him with.
I picked a bad setting.
We might want to take him with us to the bar because he might be part of our wolf pack by the end of the night.
Kevin and Brett, you get to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Whatever you'd like to happen, have at it.
Anybody seen Brett's finger?
Then Ed and Dan are the two left.
No, and no.
You don't want to hang out with Ed?
No.
Sure.
Dan's a smart guy. He just comes across as sort of pretentious. Just a little.
Touch.
Just.
He's from what, New Hampshire? Where's he from? New Hampshire?
Yes. Well, not everybody from New Hampshire.
I was asking a question. I wasn't trying to put a
I didn't know if you were doing the damn Yankee thing. I was going to be like, come on now. We've kind of gotten past some of that. From a society standpoint, the world's gotten a little smaller.
Pennsylvania, sorry. Same thing.
Well, it changes everything.
He's from Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What do I think New Hampshire? I don't know.
He went to college in New Hampshire, right?
Ursinus College?
I don't know.
No, it's in Collegeville, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Clever there. Thanks, guys.
That is. What should we call this? College Land? No, not Collegeville. That sounds good. If you had told Dan Mullen 20 years ago, you're going to be working in Starkville, Mississippi.
For an extended period of time.
For a decade. He would have said, you have lost your mind. I will be doing no such thing. Thank you very much.
So they have a Collegeville, Pennsylvania and a University Park, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Clever. Maryland's in College Park, Maryland.
College Park.
Yeah.
Which is not far from D.C. at all. It's right outside the Beltway.
Is it?
Part of the metro, I think. I think you could take the metro there.
Penn State, by the way, 97,000 students across its 24 campuses.
Good God. How many are at the main campus? 50?
Annual enrollment at the University Park campus totals more than 46,800 graduate and undergraduate students.
See, Campbell wants to go to a small school. And I keep asking, what do you mean? And the schools she mentions are like private schools, where I'm like, okay, well, what bank do we rob? Do you have a getaway plan? I mean, what's the strategy? What mask do you plan on wearing?
It's former presidents, right? It's, you know, the cartoon president's mask from whatever movie that was.
Yeah, I'm going to be Nixon. I mean, what are we doing? How are we coming up with this? It's just, you know, it's this college thing is going to be.
Well, because it's funny how what people think, too. They go, well, you know, small school because they're, like, not in a Power 5 conference. It's like, you know, you run into people that go, well, you know, Central Florida, really small school. It's like, you know, they have 70,000 students, right? Yeah,
Central Florida is a sleeping giant athletically.
Well, it commuter school hurts it.
It does. But it's like I was talking to someone familiar with Scott Frost who said, and I think I wrote this on the message board, this is not breaking news, that there are some people tight with Frost who are saying, hey, man, be patient. You've got a good gig. You can turn this into an elite job sooner rather than later. Don't panic. And no, they did not refer to Nebraska as an elite job. I don't think Nebraska
It's not anymore.
Is not an, in fact, I think
Their fans think it is, so it's actually kind of a bad job because it's hard to deal there.
Hot take, Ole Miss is a better job than Nebraska.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
You can recruit better. You have more money.
10 years ago, that would not have been the case. Today, it is the case. Ole Miss is a better job.
Nebraska getting out of that conference was like a good and bad thing all at the same time. Well, it's just 19. Tommy Frazier's not there anymore. It's not 1995.
They're just, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked yet with them in the Big Ten. They fit in the Big Ten.
Run the ball. Middle America.
Yeah, cornfields.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them in Iowa, you would think, would be able to get a big cornstalk trophy.
And before anybody thinks, I like the Big Ten schools. I like the Midwest part of the country. I really do. I'm not picking on it at all. Those are I like those places. I watch Big Ten games when they come on just because they're Big Ten teams. Like, I watch some of Nebraska, Northwestern and who did they play the other day? It was a ranked team. Wisconsin. It was okay. I want Northwestern to be good.
They have some random, really interesting teams to watch. Then they have, like, the complete and utter duds, like Illinois.
But, like, Saturday night, Michigan, Michigan State. That's interesting. You turn that on, okay.
Get Michigan, Penn State in a few weeks.
Yeah, we're going to learn a little bit about our boy Harbaugh. Yeah.
At some point, he's got to quit finishing third in his division. That's what he's doing right now, finishing third.
Well, part of his problem is James Franklin had the audacity to be in his division. And that guy's apparently a really bad person.
You can't be blustery forever when you're not winning.
Franklin apparently is, while it's debatable what kind of guy he is.
Good football coach.
He's one hell of a football coach.
Yeah.
No, not good. Like, whoa, top 10 football coach. Did you watch much NBA preseason last night?
No. Sorry.
It's all right. My boy Melo got 19 in the first half.
It's preseason.
Hey. I'll tell you what. Hot take. Chris Paul, James Harden work well together. One game in, that MVP favorite for the year. James Harden. Watching that yesterday, Chris Paul is going to put him in better situations.
Warriors or the field, and you had to put $5,000 on it.
Warriors.
You still take the Warriors over the field?
Yeah. There aren't but three teams in the field that would have a chance, and the Warriors are better than all three. The only other teams, in my opinion, have a chance, Boston, Houston, and either Oklahoma City or Cleveland. So maybe four other teams have a chance. And everybody goes, what about the Spurs, Neil? Look, I watched the Spurs last year against Golden State. You saw it. I saw it. They're not closing that gap. I'd still say Warriors. We'll find out in 2 weeks. The podcast is also brought to you by Romero Miller. He's a State Farm agent, former Ole Miss quarterback. Saw him play just yesterday. So he's probably kind of sore today. He can write insurance throughout the states of Mississippi and Tennessee. Contact Romero at RomeroMiller.com, on Facebook at Romero Miller State Farm, or by email at Romero@RomeroMiller.com. Romero Miller State Farm, located at 7164 Hacks Cross Road, Suite 119, in Olive Branch. The phone number is 662-893-1212. We are also brought to you by Vitamend. Neil's picks will be out tomorrow. One Anthony Chase Parham, no longer in the lead. In fact, for 1 week, he's in the basement. He'll climb out of the basement. But for 1 week in October, Chase Parham in the basement in Neil's picks. We're all above 500. 5 weeks into the season, which is a miracle, because last year you were above 500 and I was like 20 games under.
I've got to quit looking at the lines and just pick the team to win the game. That's the strategy moving forward. I've been too consumed with single-digit lines the last few weeks.
You've given it a lot. You've given it too much thought.
Yeah. I get cute too much because the lines scare me with garbage touchdowns in a league where everybody's kind of even.
Well, in fairness to you, we got burned by a garbage touchdown last week.
And really, too, Arkansas, too, with for me at least, losing yeah. that one was a
yeah, you lost that one. We both lost Florida Vanderbilt last week because of garbage.
Yeah,
we had it right.
Jim McElwain getting his way, we win the game.
We win the game. We nail it because we both had Florida winning by a touchdown.
Yeah.
Anyway, brought to you by Vitamin, 3010 Old Taylor Road in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments next door to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. Still the same IVs and shots as before, but they've added cryosauna. It's great for removing inflammation, toxins. It speeds up recovery after a workout, burns calories, speeds up your metabolism and more. They have the infrared sauna. Combo packages, you can detox in the infrared, get fluids afterwards. It's a great way to wash away a wild weekend after a long night. You can get the overserve treatment. Also use the cryosauna to help with inflammation that's causing those headaches. They have a smoothie bar, all natural foods, no added sugar. It's the same number as before, 662-638-3600. We're open Tuesday through Sundays. IVs and shots are Friday through Sunday for now. Call ahead, 638-3600, or send them an email, info@vitamend.com.
I'm going to tease this for tomorrow. I meant to mention it, but we went in with several other things today. I'm going to get my computer where I can actually read and talk at the same time.
Okay.
Reading from Sports Illustrated, however, The Athletic's Dana O'Neill broke the story. You can read the full complaint there on The Athletic site. Referee John Higgins, who says he received death threats after working Kentucky's 75-73 loss to North Carolina in the Elite Eight last season, is suing Kentucky Sports Radio for infliction of emotional distress, invasion of privacy, tortious interference with a business relationship, and civil conspiracy. The full suit outlines the role of two owners of KSR, Matt Jones and Drew Franklin, had in what they allege was a concerted effort to intimidate Higgins and his wife and to hurt Higgins' roofing business. According to the suit, Jones spelled out the website for Higgins' company, rooferies.com. Clever. On his radio show the day after the game, and KSR posted multiple stories criticizing Higgins' performance. Franklin posted an article titled, "No More John Higgins, Please." Higgins' business then received a slew of negative reviews. Higgins and his wife said they received over 800 threatening voice messages on the company phone and more than 30 on their personal line. It claims Higgins' phone number was posted on the website, and KSR reposted the negative reviews of Higgins' business. The site claims that Higgins' company was the top-rated roofing business in Nebraska prior to the game, but soon after the influx, the company was the worst rated. They're seeking $75,000 in damages. However, they say the determination of the award is to be decided at trial. Matt Jones defending, saying it is frivolous and should be decided in his favor quickly. So there's the Cliff Notes version. All you guys that are subscribers, please don't do anything to get us sued. Thank you very much.
No doubt. That's scary.
No, it went above and beyond if you're giving out the information for the board. That's where this changes a little bit from the typical message board post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This would be us going and finding contact information from an official and supporting or pushing people in that direction, at least via the suit. I have no idea what actually happened or didn't.
It's why a couple of times I've had to go on there and say, hey, look, no, stop. Protecting us as much as anything.
The game in question that they were talking about, North Carolina won on a buzzer beater from Luke May. Kentucky was called for 19 fouls. North Carolina was called for 18 fouls. So that extra foul was the difference. Rooferees.com. Clever.
It is. It is clever.
I can't say it without laughing. Anyway, we'll hit a little more of that tomorrow. I want to read the full complaint from The Athletic. I haven't done that yet, but we'll do. We will have some guests moving forward. Ryan Brown on Friday. And again, Ole Miss Auburn, 11 a.m. from Jordan-Hare Stadium. Talk to you on Thursday.